Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father." Whoever has ears ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Up to now, in this parable, in this chapter of the eight parables in Matthew 13, we have focused on the good soil that bears 100, 60, or 30-fold fruit, and how, when we begin to bear that fruit, the whole church begins to grow like a mustard seed or like leaven. Today, Jesus builds on those parables by teaching us something else, that as we're bearing fruit, as that mustard seed planted in the middle of the world, there's a context. The context is that there's an enemy sowing his weeds. So Jesus teaches us how to deal with that reality. First thing he teaches us is about the reality of filiation, divine or diabolical, divine filiation, which we've received through baptism, which by means of spiritual adoption, we're able to cry out by the power of the Holy Spirit, "Abba, Father." God wants us to live and shine and radiate like children of the Father that he puts into the middle of the world. But at the same time, he says, there's another principle of life happening. Evil. The children of the evil one, Jesus says, are there, growing like weeds. We have to recognize that there's a principle in our life, and as Christians, we need constantly to be seeking to radiate like children of the Father. It doesn't just happen. It's a choice. And there are many who use their freedom to live by another principle. Second great lesson Jesus teaches us in this gospel is about what to do with regard to those children of the evil one in the context. What to do with the weeds. The image that Jesus uses in this parable would have been very well known to the people of his day, anybody who did any type of farming. There's a particular type of weed called Oleum camulentum that, as it's growing up, looks identical to the growth of wheat. But when it gets tall enough for people to be able to distinguish between the two, its roots have already intertwined so much with the weed that you just have to let it continue to grow until harvest time. And then on a table, you can sift the two and make sure you've got the wheat separated from the poisonous fruit of the lolium. Jesus is basically saying to all those who would want to spend their time focusing on the weeds, don't do it. In every age, there are people more focused on rooting out evil than they are about doing good. And Jesus wants us to focus far more on growing as good seed. This is a particular problem today in the church because we have allowed so often weeds to grow such that whole areas of the church have become overgrown with weeds. And so after priestly sex abuse scandals, after Cardinal McCarrick's situation, after so much false teaching in various places, you've got websites and everything else who focus just on ripping the unfaithful. Some Catholic lay people even think that that's their main duty in the world, to put everybody into a vortex and criticize everybody else. It's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying that the weeds can't really stop the growth of the wheat, that we need to focus on growth. Far more important than eradicating heretics is teaching the truth. Far more important than castigating immorality is to show the example of the joy that comes when we live aright. Jesus is teaching us this lesson here too. In response to all the sin that's out there, drug pushers, abortionists, porn makers, we're supposed to have a much stronger example for the good. And that's what he really wants to help us to do. One of the reasons is because if we try to eradicate, we'll lose some of the good. We would have lost Mary Magdalene. We would have lost Augustine. We would have lost St. Paul. We would have lost so many who at the beginning, if we had made a rash judgment, would have been put among the weeds, not the wheat. Probably many of us as well. So Jesus tells us to be patient and allow him to do his work of judging. For us, he wants us to obsess not about trying to eliminate the bad, but about truly doing the works of the children of the Father. Today, the Church has the joy to celebrate a real Son of God who radiated like the sun in the Father's kingdom in the midst of a place that for 36 years was in civil war and in which there were many evil and toxic weeds. Blessed Stanley Rother could have easily been cut down by the weed whackers who didn't appreciate his priestly vocation for the sole reason that he struggled to learn Latin. So he's booted from his first seminary. It didn't matter that he was holy. It didn't matter that he was prayerful. It just mattered that he really couldn't get the Latin down. But thanks be to God, he had a good priest in his corner who was able to persuade his bishop, based on his piety, that he should be able to persevere. So they sent him to Mount St. Mary's Seminary, where he was a proud member of the class of 1963. Went back to work for a little bit before he became a missionary in Guatemala, and there he used all his salt of the earth farming techniques that he grew up with in Okarchi, Oklahoma, to help the people of Santiago Atitlan really grow in various ways at the same time, first and foremost spiritually. But this guy who couldn't master Latin somehow was able to master Spanish and master the Mayan dialect that he translated the Gospels into, and then founded a radio station to be able to teach to people. God's grace was really at work. At the same time, he spent most of his days, when he wasn't celebrating Mass, praying his breviary, in teaching catechism. He was using his sweat in order to drill wells for the people, in order to show them new farming techniques so they would grow, and the whole thing of irrigation. He was teaching them through the analogy of farming, the essence of the gospel that Jesus teaches us in Matthew 13. But there was a lot of weeds growing, and they put Father Francisco, as they called him, because they couldn't pronounce the name Stanley, which is not necessarily the easiest name to say in other languages. They put Father Francisco on a hit list, and his bishop and his family and everybody else wanted to get him out of the country in 1981. And they were able to extricate him for 3 months. But as his family members would say, he used to sit next to the window, looking south toward his people, just wanting to go back. That a good shepherd doesn't abandon his flock. And he wanted to return, even though he knew what it would mean. After 3 months, his bishop against the remonstrations of his family, gave him permission to go. He was received with jubilation. He picked up the work that he had left. And after a couple of months, at midnight, some of the people in one of these juntas broke in to his rectory. They were trying to kidnap him. He resisted, and they shot him twice in the head, right there with the blood that still stains the wall of what's now a shrine with the Blessed Sacrament. In the middle of all of those toxic and deadly weeds, he never ceased to shine. And his example of fatherly love inspired them still. One of the most moving experiences of my life was being present at his beatification a few years ago in Oklahoma City. And right before the beatification mass, I don't know if you had the chance to watch it, there were videos of his people from Santiago Atitlan. And there was this very strong fatherly and grandfatherly Mayan who was telling the story of how much he sowed among them, including with his own life. And at the end, this very strong man, talking about Stanley's love, just started bawling his eyes out. And God bless the editors of that video. They could have just let him shed tears for a couple seconds. They let him sob for about 20 seconds before they moved on. It was a testimony to how much Blessed Stanley had given there. He had given all that he knew. He had given so much hard work. And he ultimately came back to give his life to help them become true children of the Father. At Mass, we have a chance to live these truths. Christ sows himself in us so that united to him, we can become true children of the Father and radiate with his own glory. Let us ask the Lord through the intercession of Blessed Stanley to help us so shine so that others in seeing our acts of love may give glory as well to our Father in heaven.